MP3. 1. Chapter 13 Doc. Study 13. This World's Kingdoms. In the first book of Divine Revelation, God declares His purpose for His earthly creation and its government. And the God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth." So God created man in His own image, in the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. And the God blessed them, and the God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish, fill the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Genesis 1:26-28. Man's original dominion over earth, the dominion of earth, was placed in the hands of Father Adam. He was perfect and fully qualified to be ruler and king of the earth. But the dominion was not for him alone, he represented all his posterity. Let them have dominion. If the human race had remained sinless, this dominion would never have passed out of its hands. No one was given dominion over his fellow man by this commission. Mankind was given dominion over the earth to cultivate its fruitage for the benefit of all vegetable and mineral wealth, as well as all varieties of animal, were given into man's command for his service. As the population would increase, it would become necessary for people to organize ways for just distribution of the common blessings. Eventually, representatives would be elected to manage affairs for the common interests of all. If mankind had remained sinless, loving God and one's neighbor as oneself, society would have run peacefully. Thus, the original design of the Creator was for man's government to be a republic. Every man would be a sovereign while working for the common good. Such a dominion over earth had only one law, love, Romans 13:10. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, Matthew 22:37-40. When God gave man dominion over the work of his hands, Psalm 8:5-6, he became God's representative in the first establishment of the kingdom of God on earth. But when Adam rebelled and sinned, God's kingdom ceased immediately. Since that time, God's kingdom has not been re-established except in a brief, typical manner with ancient Israel. Nevertheless, though mankind lost its dominion, God allowed him to exercise power according to his own ideas and choices until he come whose right it is, Ezekiel 21:25-27. When Jesus died, he not only provided for man's redemption, but also for the recovery of man's original inheritance of the earth. The purpose of Messiah's rule over the earth during the millennium will be to put down all sin and rebellion and to prepare mankind to be God's representative ruler of earth again, 1 Corinthians 15:25, Revelation 19:15, 20-5. God's typical model kingdom during the Jewish age. God organized Israel as his typical kingdom under Moses and the Judges. Israel was called the kingdom of the Lord, 2 Chronicles 13:8, and Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord, 1 Chronicles 29:23. Israel had a sort of republic which, later, under the kings, became generally more repressive. However, the reigns of David and Solomon were used by God to represent, in measure, the coming kingdom when Messiah should reign. When the people transgressed against the Lord, he chastised them repeatedly until finally in the days of Zedekiah, the last king of the line of David, the royal power was removed. The typical kingdom of God was overthrown. God through Ezekiel prophesied regarding Zedekiah, "Take off the crown. I will overturn it, and it shall be no more, until he comes whose right it is, and I will give it him." Ezekiel 21:25-27. Removing the crown was fulfilled when the king of Babylon removed Judah's king and took the people captive. The prophecy decreed that it should remain overturned until Christ came to claim it. Cyrus the Persian later restored their national existence, but they were thereafter tributary, successively to Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. Then, in AD 70, Israel was destroyed as a nation and the people scattered among the nations. The prince of this world, God's kingdom, was not set up at the first advent of Christ, But Jesus promised that he would establish his kingdom at his return, Luke 19:12. Satan continues to be the prince of this world. Israel's being returned to its land today, though with much conflict and trouble, is an evidence that the time is close when Satan's kingdom of this world will fall. The time for God's kingdom under Messiah is fixed and marked in the scriptures, and it will continue forever and ever in power and glory, Revelation 11:15 NAS. The interval since the removing of God's scepter from Israel until it is taken up by Christ is termed in scripture the times of the Gentiles. God has indirectly recognized the Gentile governments until his purposes are complete. Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, Luke 21:24 NAS. God allowed, ordained, these intervening governments to take their own course, for a wise purpose. Romans 13:1. Their imperfect rule proves imperfect man is unable to govern himself. All this has been a part of God's plan, and eventually, all shall work for good, and even the wrath of man shall praise thee, Psalm 76:10. Satan is not the prince of this world by right, but by usurpation. Through fraud and deception, he invisibly controls fallen men as the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2:2. Satan misrepresents God's plan and blinds men to the truth. Satan even tried to tempt Jesus in the wilderness, offering him all the kingdoms of the world, if only Jesus would worship him, Matthew 4:8-9. Meanwhile, the world groans and waits. Philosophers dream of a golden age, politicians unsuccessfully try to fix the problems of this world. The whole creation is longing for something better. They do not realize it, but what they are waiting for is the revealing of the sons of God with kingdom power, Romans 8:20-19 NAS. Prophetic overview of the kingdoms of this world. God has given us several panoramic views of the governments of this world and their overthrow, and the setting up of the everlasting kingdom under Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Before Jerusalem was destroyed the first time, Daniel, already in captivity, interpreted a perplexing dream for the king of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar had dreamed about a mighty image composed of gold, silver, brass, iron and clay that was struck by a stone and destroyed. Daniel explained that it represented four great empires that would be given a lease to rule by God's permission after the overthrow of Israel, God's typical kingdom. Daniel 2:31-45, "Thou, O king, sayest, and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sayest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold, broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain, and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art the king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee, ordained, a kingdom, power, and strength, and the glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, silver, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, forasmuch as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in the pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay, and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, mixed, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, forasmuch as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron, and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong, and partly broken, brittle. Man's last universal empire. Although history reveals previous empires of earth, only four universal dominions have ruled over the Holy Land. The Babylonian Empire, as the head of gold, was conquered by the Medo-Persian Breast of Silver. Then a third brass Grecian empire conquered it and, in turn, was conquered by a fourth Roman Empire of Iron. This last universal empire held sway in Jesus' day. There went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Luke 2:1. Rome was the strongest and longest enduring, even though it had feet dividing into 10 toes. Part of iron and part of clay. These toes represent the nations of Europe which grew out of the old Roman Empire. Why part clay? Clay is like imitation stone. These countries were a mixture of church and state, clay and iron, and claimed to be Christ's kingdom Christendom. Pagan Rome became Papal Rome, which set itself up as a counterfeit kingdom of God, and reigned with an iron hand throughout the centuries. Even Protestant countries such as England and Germany followed this example of churches wedded to governments. In the vision, when the image was hit by a stone at the feet, it was broken to pieces and blown away, Daniel 2:34-35. Thereafter the stone became a great mountain. This stone represents the true kingdom of God which will one day fill the whole earth. World War I brought the fall of the dynasties which claimed to rule by the grace of God. Although continuing as governments after 1914, God's lease of power to the Gentiles to rule ended. God began to prepare for his kingdom on earth to be established. Providentially timed. Right after the war, Great Britain issued the Balfour Declaration in 1917, which provided for a Jewish state. His Majesty's government views with favor the establishment in Palestine of a national home for the Jewish people. By 1948, Israel became a nation again. In due time, Israel will be revitalized by faith, Ezekiel 37:1-14, Zechariah 12:6-10, to then become the nucleus of God's kingdom on earth, Zechariah 21. Daniel prophesied, "In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Daniel 2:44. Notice, the governments are destroyed, but not the people. Our Lord Jesus came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. John 3:17. Various methods have been tried to govern the world: socialism, capitalism, communism, democracy, but the only lasting solution will be the kingdom of God. The kingdoms of this world will be broken to shivers, Revelation 2:26-27, but after that, the people themselves will be blessed, Isaiah 19:22, Jeremiah 3:22-23, Hosea 6:1-14:4, Isaiah 2:3, Revelation 20:2. The stone which strikes the image is the church class. It was cut out of the mountain without hands, representing that the saints who will rule with Christ in glory are taken from the kingdoms of this world. Cut out by the power of God's Holy Spirit, Daniel 2:45, Revelation 3:21. When the church is complete in glory, then the kingdom of God will begin to operate in the earth. It will work gradually at first, through Israel, then expand to fill the earth. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, Isaiah 2:2-3. People from all nations will then come up to the house of the God of Jacob to be taught. Out of Zion, spiritual Israel, shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, natural Israel. Daniel's vision of earthly governments, Nebuchadnezzar's dream, illustrated the kingdoms of this world as men see them according to their relative strength and grandeur. Daniel's dream depicted the same governments from God's viewpoint beastly. The governments of earth certainly have helped to maintain a degree of order, but because of their lust for greatness and power, they have marshaled countless armies and made millions of widows and orphans. And now we call the proud happy. Yeah, they that work wickedness are set up, Malachi 3:15. Daniel's dream is recorded in Daniel 7:1-11. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream. Then he wrote the dream, and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spoke and said, "I saw in my vision by night, and, behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, a diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. And behold another beast, a second, like to a bear. After this I beheld, and lo another, like a leopard. And dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth, it devoured and broke in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and, behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and, behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool, his throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him, 1,000 thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, the judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spoke, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. Fourth beast Rome. In this dream the lion represents Babylon, the bear represents Medo-Persia, the leopard Greece, and the fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, is Rome. We pay particular attention to the last one because it reaches into modern history. It had 10 horns, and, like the 10 toes of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, these represent the divisions of power which came out of the empire once ruled by Rome. A little horn arose after the 10. It replaced 3 of them and ruled among them. This little horn represents the gradual rise to power of the Church of Rome, papacy. It effectively replaced 3 divisions of the Roman Empire in Italy, the Heruli, the Eastern Exarchate, and the Ostrogoths. Papacy became established as a civil power. The eyes of a man represent the intelligence of this system, and its mouth and words represent papacy's bombastic claims and decrees. This fourth beast is also depicted in Revelation as a dragon, representing the devil and his influence, Revelation 12:9. This dragon, pagan Rome, persecuted the early church and produced many martyrs, but then Satan changed his ways. As he often transforms himself to appear as an angel of light to Corinthians 11:14, so pagan Rome was transformed from heathenism to Catholicism and claimed to be Christ's kingdom. Under papal Rome, not only were God's plan and character misrepresented, but great bloody persecutions more severe and protracted than even those of pagan Rome, were brought against the true church. After giving some details of the papal horn, the prophet states it would lose its dominion by a gradual process until it was completely destroyed. The turning point ending papacy's power to persecute came in 1799, when the Pope died in France as a prisoner of Napoleon. The prayers and curses of the Pope availed nothing. The Vatican's temporal power waned rapidly until 1870, when it lost the last vestige of temporal power at the hands of Victor Emmanuel. Ironically, in that same year, with the great words which the horn was speaking, Daniel 7:11, papacy declared the infallibility of the popes. The preceding beasts had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time, Daniel 7:12. As each one lost their empire, their dominion passed to the next. The lives of Babylon, Medo-Persia and Greece were each prolonged as the succeeding empires absorbed their customs, cultures and practices into their own government. For example, when the Persia conquered the Chaldeans at Babylon, Daniel was retained as an administrator. Alexander the Great of Greece adopted various Persian customs, and during the Roman Empire, Greek culture and language was widespread. However, the life of the final beast, Rome, would not be prolonged. I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame, Daniel 7:11. No successor empire builds upon this one, or incorporates it. It is succeeded by the kingdom of Christ, which is a new and pure government provided by God. Fifth, universal dominion forever, no matter the means used. The cause of the fall of the kingdoms of this world will be the establishment of the fifth universal empire, the kingdom of God, under Christ. One like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, God. There was given unto him dominion, and the glory, and the kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages, should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away. And the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Daniel 7:13-14, 27. Jehovah will place the dominion of earth in the hands of Christ, who shall put all things under his feet. 1 Corinthians 15:27. However, the kingdoms of this world, Revelation 11:15, John 16:11, will not surrender peaceably, so it will first be necessary to bind their kings with chains. Execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Psalm 149:8-9. Nor will Satan, the prince of this world, quietly yield his usurped authority. He must be bound and restrained by force. Revelation 20:1-2. Enthroned with their head, the overcomers of the present age will rule, bless and restore the groaning creation, which suffered under the selfish and beastly governments of earth. In the meantime, as the broken pieces are blown away and the fourth beast awaits the consuming fire, we pray fervently, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Attempts of man to govern himself. We make no attempt to excuse our rebel race, but we can sympathize with its vain efforts to govern itself. Even these beastly governments have been better than no government, better than lawlessness and anarchy. Even when well-intentioned, man generally cannot accomplish the good he wishes. But God has permitted man's efforts at self-government as an experiment, to show that without instruction from God, and when subject to the influence of Satan, man cannot achieve his goals. The object of the better of man's governments has been to promote justice and well-being for the people, but success has varied through the centuries. Noble efforts for just leadership have certainly been tried. Good laws and courts of appeal have been established to protect domestic and commercial interests. But, under Satan's influence, these have been infected by the baser elements of society. When justice is ignored, and the selfishness and corruption of tyrants prevail, costly revolutions and wars are the inevitable result. Increase of knowledge to satisfaction. We recognize man's governments as the best efforts of poor, fallen humanity to govern itself. But after centuries of experiment, dissatisfaction is more general and widespread than ever before. This change of public thinking has exploded in modern times. The spirit of independence is now abroad. Although the invention of printing about AD 1440 increased enlightenment, not since the 1800s has education become general among the masses. Inventions and discoveries flood the marketplace. Communication is instant worldwide by internet and cell phones. Knowledge and enlightenment are limiting the influence of Satan in some ways in preparation for God's kingdom on earth. The light of truth on every subject is challenging our world and escalating the trouble. There is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Luke 12:2-NAS. This increase of knowledge awakens a feeling of self-respect and yearning among men for their natural rights, thus contributing to widespread dissatisfaction with fallen human nature. This will finally express itself in worldwide revolution and anarchy. In the midst of man's confusion, God will establish his kingdom, and the desire of all nations shall come. Haggai 2:7. Man's extremity will become God's opportunity, and the kingdom of God will be established in power and glory. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah 11:9. The church not to be involved in world's kingdoms, knowing God's kingdom would come in the future. Neither Jesus nor the apostles interfered with earthly rulers. On the contrary, they taught the church to submit to these earthly powers, even though they often suffered their abuse. Jesus' followers are taught to obey the laws of the land unless they conflict with God's laws. Acts 4:19, 5:29. They pay their taxes and are law-abiding. Matthew 20:21. However, though man's governments are permitted by God, the church should not get involved with politics. The saints of God should let their light shine, but it is not our mission now to help the world improve its government. Jesus himself said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight?" John 18:36. We are heirs of a heavenly kingdom, Luke 12:32, and will bless the world from above during the millennium. We should point forward to the promised kingdom of God and its blessings. Then it will be our privilege to work for the blessing and uplift of the world. False Church united with kings of earth. The early Christian church was tempted to become involved in the politics of existing governments, preaching the coming kingdom of God, which will replace earthly kingdoms, was unpopular and brought persecution. So many Christians negotiated to combine with earthly powers for their mutual strength and benefit. Thus everything changed. Instead of humility, came pride. Instead of truth, came error. Instead of being persecuted, a false church became the persecutor of those who condemned her. For control over the people, the doctrine of eternal torment evolved and proved useful. This worldly church made all the nations drunk with her errors, Revelation 17:2. Soon she was crowning or deposing the kings of Europe, becoming the queen of nations, Revelation 17:3-5, 18:7. Instead of waiting for Jesus to return with the kingdom, papacy established her own with the kings of earth. The reformers abandoned many of papacy's claims, but sought the honor of attaching to the kings of earth. In this they became daughters of their mother. For centuries the kingdoms of Europe thus claimed to be Christian kingdoms, reigning by the grace of God. Jesus taught we are not of the world, and Paul exhorted be not conformed to this world, John 17:16. Romans 12:2. God never approved of calling these kingdoms by the name of Christ. As the two dreams interpreted for Nebuchadnezzar show, God permitted a limited grant for a limited time to the Gentile powers, but he does not endorse these kingdoms as his. Their imperfect laws and often selfish and vicious rulers have grossly misrepresented Christ's righteous kingdom, Isaiah 30:1. Pilgrims and strangers on earth thinking of the kingdoms of this world as Christ's kingdom has distracted many of God's people from the promised heavenly kingdom. Instead of being devoted to preaching the gospel of the coming kingdom, Christians have mingled in politics. Although Christians are to submit to the laws of the land, they were always to remain pilgrims and strangers on earth, 1 Peter 2:11-14. Today there is a global shaking of the nations. Should we hope for them to endure? We should rather look forward to what is to follow the kingdom of Christ. The fifth universal empire is being established amid the rubble of these kingdoms by the King of Kings, Revelation 17:14, and soon the wind will blow them all away. Jesus with the saints to reign and bless the world sees that Christian nations are not actually Christ-like. Some conclude that Christianity itself, by being in league with civil powers, seeks chiefly its own welfare. Meanwhile, the governments of earth seek to retain their dominion, unaware of the better things to follow. Why do the nations tumultuously assemble, and the people meditate a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together, against the Lord, and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder, and cast away their cords from us." He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure, saying, "I have anointed my king upon my holy hill of Zion." Be wise now therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss, make friends with, the Son comma God's anointed, lest he be angry, and ye perish in the way, for his wrath may soon be kindled. Blessed are all they that take refuge in him. Psalm 2:1-12 KJV. Margin, Rotherham. God's wrath will be soon fully kindled. We take refuge in knowing that beyond Satan's kingdom, the saints of the Most High, together with Christ, shall take the kingdom, and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Daniel 7:18.